Welcome back to 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me tonight, the owner of the Chicago Fire FC, Joe Mansueto. Joe, one of the leaders in Chicago business from his time at Morningstar, continues to be the executive chairman there, as well as other investments. He's got a library named after him. Joe Mansueto, who's been on the program before, great to have you back.
Hey, Justin. Thanks very much. Delighted to be here.
I did not think that I would be in a position where I'm interviewing you as the owner of Chicago Fire FC. Where does this passion come from to get involved with professional sport?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I did not grow up playing soccer as a kid. I grew up in Northwest Indiana, where it was football, basketball, baseball were the options. But I got interested in soccer through my kids. You know, they started playing first at the AYSO level. I was coached AYSO for a few years. And then at the club level, they started playing high school. And I just became a big believer in the sport. First is for youths. You know, it's a great way for kids to develop, learn some life lessons, have some fun, get a lot of great aerobic exercise. And then later, as a spectator, you know, I started to watch professional soccer, the European leagues, and then MLS here in the U.S. And I just became hooked on the sport. You know, it fits so well into the modern lifestyle. It's 90 minutes of nonstop action. A lot of the other sports are 3-4 hours. Not a lot happens. And, you know, in soccer, the clock doesn't stop.
It never stops.
And it fits so well in the modern lifestyle. And, you know, there's a reason I think the rest of the world is enamored of soccer.
It's such an interesting move. When you start to fall in love with the sport because of your kids, and is there a point where your business mind took over and said, whoa, you know, owning an MLS team, that's a great investment?
Yeah, that's what happened. You know, I ran Morningstar, as you mentioned, till I was 60. And when I turned 60, I stepped down as CEO and became executive chairman, or stepped up. And I'm still chairman of the company today, and still an important part of what I do. But I wanted to diversify my investments and invest according to my passions. And so one of the things I was interested in, as I mentioned, is soccer, passionate about it. So I wanted to invest according to something I really enjoyed doing. I didn't want to invest in something that would be a headache or I didn't enjoy. And so this kind of aligned a passion with what I think is going to be a good investment. If you look at the growth of soccer around the world, I think MLS is a great future for all the reasons I touched on. And not that I ever intend to sell the club, but I do think the value will rise over time. So I think it's both a good investment, but moreover, it's a passion, something I feel great about evangelizing about soccer. I think it's a great way for me to give back to the city of Chicago. So it's partly a civic, you know, initiative.
And it wasn't a done deal. I was reading the, I think it was a Trib article, one of the articles talking about you wanted to get involved in MLS, and it could have been anywhere. At the beginning, it wasn't necessarily about the Chicago Fire.
Well, that's right. When I first looked at investing in an MLS team, I was thinking that it's probably an expansion team. You know, all the other cities are taken, so MLS is expanding. If you want to get involved in a new team, you probably have to go to a different city. And so I called up the commissioner of Major League Soccer, Don Garber, and he said, hey, you know, because I was looking at Sacramento, some of the potential expansion cities, and he said, hey, if you want to invest in soccer, you're in Chicago, you know, you should talk to Andrew Hauptmann, who owned the club. And he said, there's two things that we find that work for successful MLS clubs. One is local ownership, and two is a downtown stadium. And so that local ownership is key. So again, I would advise you, go talk to Andrew, see if you can work something out.
That's fascinating, because obviously it made headlines without knowing that necessarily about what makes a good MLS soccer club. The headlines that have dominated with the Chicago Fire is the move from Bridgeview to downtown Chicago to Soldier Field, which where you'll be opening up in the spring. Why do that? Why go from Bridgeview to Soldier Field?
You know, it's a fine stadium in Bridgeview, SeatGeek Stadium, and it's a soccer-specific stadium. The issue was its location on the southwest side. It's great if you're on the southwest side, but if you're on the north side of the city, to get down there, it's a bit impractical, to be honest. And so if you're downtown, you know, it's the shortest commute for the most amount of people. And so it's the most convenient location, Soldier Field. Transit lines go into it. It's accessible from the north, west, south side of the city. So if you want to have a club that's really for all of Chicago, you need to be downtown.
Yeah, I would assume it's more expensive to do that. I don't know the particulars to go downtown and rent or
it
be
is.
A part of Soldier Field, but it also, it's a little itinerant feeling in the way that everyone knows that Soldier Field is Chicago Bears. So how do you get over that? Because in Bridgeview, the vibe was that was a Chicago Fire spot, even for someone who I'd never been to a game. But I knew that you go out to Bridgeview, that's where the Chicago Fire plays.
Well, Justin, another way to look at it is it's a homecoming. You know, the Chicago Fire started at Soldier Field.
Yeah, right.
And then they moved out to Bridgeview. So this is where the team started. And so it's owned by the Park District. It's not owned by the Bears. They're great neighbors for
they'd
us.
They'd like you to think it's owned by the Bears,
yeah,
but you're right.
It's owned by the Park District. Yeah, right. So it's a city property. Again, it's a coming home is the way I think of it.
Obviously, looking at the size of Soldier Field, 61,000 seats or so, is that a challenge for you to be able to bring the attendance to Soldier Field, to fill that stadium? Is that the goal, to sell out Soldier Field for the Chicago Fire?
Well, Justin, that's why I'm on this show. Yes, it is.
Talking to the WGN nighttime listener about what could happen.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. I mean, our average attendance last year was something like 12,000. You know, our goal this year is to double that to about 25,000. So the default configuration next year will be to close off the upper bowl, just have the lower bowl, mm-hmm. put some tarps up there. But we can flex up for capacity. Opening day, we're trying to sell that out, 61,000 seats. There have been games, several games this year that have sold out Soldier Field for soccer. And so the audience, the base is here. I think we can do it. I think it'll take some time. But if we can double next year from 12 to 25, I'll be very happy.
Yeah, of course. Joe Mansueto is in studio. He's the owner of Chicago Fire FC. And I keep saying Chicago Fire FC because there has been a name change, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what it takes to get to that point, to get Chicago behind the Chicago Fire FC, to almost think of it like an expansion team. I mean, obviously, you have a lot of nostalgia and history here with the Chicago Fire, but rebranding, new look, new uniforms, new everything, new color scheme. The Chicago Fire FC will be a new brand here in Chicago coming up in the spring. Joe Mansueto is my guest tonight here on 720 WGN. We'll take a break. Stay with us. Welcome back to 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman with you. Joe Mansueto is here, a longtime Chicago business leader, the executive chairman over at Morningstar, and which is his company, and also now the owner of the Chicago Fire FC. Why the change in the name? I think it was a soccer club before. Now it's Chicago Fire FC. What is it about rebranding Chicago Fire?
Well, I wouldn't call it a name change. I'd call it a name tweak. You know, we've kept the name Chicago Fire, which is very important to me. It's about what this city is, the creation of this city in 1871 and the spirit of rebuilding in the face of adversity. So I love the name Chicago Fire. We went from SC to FC, football club, to really align with global standards and to really reflect the global aspirations of what we hope to achieve, to be one of the premier global soccer or football clubs. And if you look at where the naming has gone in Major League Soccer, it's FC Dallas, it's FC Cincinnati, it's kind of VHS versus Betamax, or to use an old analogy, kind of the game is over, it's right, kind of moved right. to FC. And so, again, I think it's more in keeping with global standards, but speaks to our aspirations.
That's a great point you make about being a global brand in soccer, because the MLS has some teams that people know really well. But can you compete with some of the Premier League teams that are playing in other countries or around the world for that global piece of the pie? Does Chicago Fire FC, is that part of the goal or the structure, the things that you want to see from this squad?
Absolutely. I think that that's a challenge for all of MLS. We have to think of the European leagues as our competition and to close that gap. You know, I think at a skill level, if you look at the quality of play, we're now roughly on a par with Mexico and a lot of the South American leagues. There's still a gap, to be honest, with the European leagues, the English Premier League, and MLS, but it's narrowing.
Is the gap just because they put so much money in, because that's their football, quote-unquote, the idea that's their national pastime?
Yeah, and I think they've got longer history. Mm-hmm. You know, it is their national pastime. They've been at it longer. Obviously, there's an enormous wealth of athletic talent in this country, but we are now just developing the academies to develop that talent. There's a lot of investments going around throughout MLS to invest in training centers. So I think we're rapidly going to catch up. It's going to take some time. And then since they're larger, more established, the media revenue is bigger for, right, say, the English Premier League, so they can get the best players from around the world. Our league is still not at that level of spend. I think over time it'll get there, but we're pushing in that direction.
Do you find yourself competing with leagues like the Premier League and or other countries when it comes to soccer? Or are you also competing against other sports, meaning Chicago has entrenched sports? You talked about it growing up in Northwest Indiana. I don't know where your fandoms lie, but the idea that, you know, there are Chicago brands that doesn't matter if they're up or they're down, whatever it might be, people are still going to be, you know, loyal fans to them. Is that what you're competing against? Do you have to sort of find yourself moving up that ladder of professional sports in this town?
You know, it's both those things. We're certainly both competing with European soccer clubs, but also the local sports teams. But in my mind, you know, if you look at Chicago, We have the Bears, the Bulls, two baseball teams. We want to be at the same level. You know, when you say, who are the Chicago sports teams?
Right.
We need to have the fire at the same level as those other teams. And right now we're a bit below that, but we want to, you know, our aspirations are to be at the same level. And we've got to compete then, again, with the Cubs.
Is that the idea? I mean, you have to compete.
That is definitely the idea.
Good,
I mean,
right?
It's the same audience.
Right.
You know, the population, it is what it is. And so we're competing against those fans. And so it's competitive. People have a lot of options to watch sports. But we think we've got a very compelling value proposition, if you want to use a business school term, a very, you know, compelling proposition for sports fans. And I think our issue is just exposing people to the product. People watch the games, they'll get hooked. And so one of my big pushes for our team is, management team, is we need to be, you know, more accessible on broadcast television. ESPN Plus is tremendous for streaming, but we, you know, I'd like to see us somewhere, cable, broadcast television, to expose, you know, the population of Chicago to the Chicago Fire.
Well, you see the Cubs doing a deal with Sinclair. You see NBC Sports. Are you talking about that kind of thing? Like, could the Chicago Fire and the MLS have their own channel in a Comcast package?
You know, it's possible. To my mind, I'd rather see it free. So, yeah. But it could be part of a package too. I mean, I grew up, you know, watching the Chicago Cubs, Jack Brickhouse, Channel 9, and that created, you know, some huge passionate Cub fans over the years. And exposing people to that product and that kind of experience would go a long way to creating the fan base that I think the Chicago Fire deserve.
The team, specifically, and this great piece about how it really does feel like Chicago Fire FC is an expansion team. I'm not putting down what's been done in the last couple decades with the Chicago Fire. The idea with the rebrand and the way that you're handling the rosters and what you want to do moving forward to get a winning team on the soccer field. Do you see it that way? Do you see it as like a fresh start? This is Joe Mansueto's time, and this is a fresh start for this organization?
Yes. You know, we're trying to re-energize the franchise, take it up to the next level. We have big ambitions and aspirations. And so moving downtown, you know, reimagining kind of the look of the club, building the organization. I've said we'd like to have a world-class organization, both on the pitch and off the pitch, the front office. Every spot has to be filled by a world-caliber person. And so big aspiration. So it's reimagining the club, but it does, to your point, Justin, it does feel like a startup. And I love that atmosphere. You know, I think the team is energized, excited. We're moving the front office downtown. We're about to lease space here in the Loop for the front office. We'll continue to train in Bridgeview. So there's a lot of excitement, energy within the organization. And, you know, a lot of work to do, but, you know, it has that startup zest and enthusiasm.
Chicago is a town that is not used to having new ownership. I mean, across the board, we're used to having the same people own the sports teams. But in the cases where we've seen some changes, I think about the Chicago Blackhawks, where Rocky Wirtz took over. And at that time, they went from the old man's team to the Suns team. Yep. You saw that with the Ricketts and the Chicago Cubs. But the missing part of that equation is they both won. They brought a World Series to the North Side, and the Blackhawks, of course, won champion after championship. So that has to be a part of it, right? To get people involved in soccer or to understand or accept the game, the Chicago Fire has to go on a run.
Yeah, that's goal number one. We have to win championships. You know, sports is black and white that way. You win or you lose. And so if you don't have that aspiration, if you don't achieve that, you haven't succeeded. And so you get measured every day by your play, and so we have to deliver. And so that is definitely the goal.
The names, and I think about this because, you know, you wanted to get involved in Chicago sports. I think about Reinsdorf and Wirtz and the big names, Ricketts, and all the people who, in a way, it's amazing they're up on a pedestal as the leaders of Chicago sports, and they're also quickly to, you know, people are quick to take them down when things aren't going well. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for when things are going well, everyone says Joe Mansueto's leading the charge, and when things aren't, they're like, Joe Mansueto's got to sell this team. We got to get rid of this guy. Are you ready for sports talk and sports chatter in this town?
Hey, absolutely. That's part of the territory. You know, you're going to be cheered. You're going to be booed. Tom Brady was booed, you know, in the game yesterday.
Unbelievable, right?
Even though they're doing great, you know, one bad game and you get booed by the Patriot fans. And so that comes with the territory. You know, people are looking at every move. They're critiquing, and that's the fans' right. You know, that's part of what makes it fun. And so obviously they're not going to like everything we do. We're going to make some missteps, and people should call us out on it. And we accept it. And, You know, I've been in business long enough where, you know, as an entrepreneur, you often get criticized, like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. That's, you shouldn't be doing that. And so I'm somewhat used to it. But yeah, it's totally expected. And fans have every right to voice their opinions.
When I think about we talked about this kind of feeling like a startup, and you've done so many different business ventures in this town. Is it similar in the sense that you're learning things about the business of football, the business of MLS, the business of running a sports team? Talk about the challenges of taking that on, something that you may not have known about before you got involved.
That's a good question, and it's been super fascinating. I really enjoyed it. To me, that's the exhilarating part of this job, is moving up the learning curve, learning about how Major League Soccer is structured, how it works. I was at a Major League Soccer board meeting last week. There's a lot to learn about the sport, this whole sporting side. It's a global network of talent. There's just so much to learn that I find that really fun. I mean, I've been doing Morningstar a long time. I still have new things to learn at Morningstar. But, you know, I probably, my learning curve is flattened out there after 35 years.
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
And so now I'm on the steep part of a curve, you know, learning about the sport, learning about the sporting business.
Yeah.
And I just found it fascinating, a lot of fun. But I'll tell you, when I bought into this team, what I quickly found out, it's a three-legged stool. Two of the legs I knew about, one I didn't have full visibility on. One is the whole sporting side. You got to have the players, the coach, the strategy. I knew that. You have to get that under control. There's a whole financial side, the business side, a P&L.
Yeah.
I had visibility into that. The third leg of the stool is the civic side. And I didn't have an appreciation for that buying into the team. But it's really become apparent to me how deeply entrenched a sports team is into the fabric of a city. You know, how fans are just rabid and have such ownership and feeling and passion, you know, about their club, and the way you can get out with a sports team and connect to the neighborhoods and get youths involved in the sport, mm-hmm. developing them to play and getting them excited about it. It's just a key part of the city. It's like a cultural institution that's owned by the city.
It's pretty interesting, too, because I think of the Cubs. I think of the Bears. The Bears have almost a feeling. They've got to be a defensive team. They bring their lunch pail to work. It's a working-class city. You hear the announcers throw that stuff out all the time. Do you think that way? Do you think about how the Chicago Fire interacts with what the ethos or the myth of Chicago is?
Yeah, I think there's a style of play that comes from the identity of Chicago. This kind of urban grittiness, this kind of never-say-die, finding a way to win in the face of challenges, that spirit, kind of that working class, yeah. You know, go to work every day, a bit humble, not kind of a lot of bravado. Maybe that's on the coast more, but kind of low key, but, you know, still kind of nice people, but, you know, finding, you know, just hardworking, great work ethic. And to me, that should translate into the style of play and, you know, kind of aggressive and, you know, a bit tough and, you know, not intimidated. So, yeah, I think that the style of play ought to reflect the spirit and the identity of Chicago.
So my last question, are you going to be like Jerry Jones? Are you just going to every talk about the team and tell the coaches what to do and all that kind of stuff? Or are you going to be a little bit more hands-off?
You know, I'll be actively involved because I love it. And the way I run organizations is I like to hire tremendous people, really talented people, give them some autonomy, but check in a lot and kind of be involved. And so it'll be collaborative. But I'll respect the people kind of doing the job and not like a micromanager. That's certainly not my style. If you talk to the people at Morningstar, I'm not micromanaging. But I'm very, you know, it's important to me that there be a mission, values, and we're getting the right people together and that there can be candid debate. It's a meritocracy. The best ideas ought to win. And that this becomes a hot spot for talent and just a high level of morale and enthusiasm.
I love it. You wouldn't know you're talking about a soccer club or a football club right there. It could be anything, any business in Chicago. Joe Mansueto is my guest tonight. He's the owner of Chicago Fire FC. The opener is March 21st, is
March
that right?
March 21st.
March 21st here at Soldier Field in Chicago. Joe, great to see you again. Thanks for coming in,
you
and good
too,
luck
Justin.
With the season.
Hey, thank you so much.